North State Local Voices is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and Northern Star Mills, serving the North Valley with farm, garden, and pet supplies since 1898. Northern Star Mills offers natural and organic soil amendments and fertilizers, as well as natural and holistic pet supplies. Northern Star Mills is located in downtown Chico, across from the Bidwell Mansion. And by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image, open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525. Today on North State Local Voices, I'm going to interview Leah McKean. And Leah is actually quite a very important person for KZFR. She is the volunteer coordinator. And I will say this before we start talking to Leah. She is one of the reasons I believe that the station has such a nice feeling about it for volunteers. Just a wonderful addition. And I just love the way that you deal with volunteers, and they are the lifeblood of a community radio station.
Absolutely.
So, Leah, welcome. I'm happy to have you here today.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. And so I want to talk a little bit about KZFR. I mean, people know a lot about it and they certainly listen to it, but sometimes there's some things that are interesting. And then a little about yourself. You know, when did you start being the volunteer coordinator?
I was actually hired in 2011. I had been working at a different nonprofit that had partnered with KZFR on a fundraising event, which, you know, nonprofits always need to do that. Mm-hmm. And I just ended up helping the station with a lot of little odds and ends for that event, and just became enamored with the idea of community radio. I had been listening for a long time because I moved up here to Chico in the 80s. And found KZFR and kind of, you know, found my, found like-minded people that mm-hmm. way through the community radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then to get to see it from the other side, you know, how the volunteers and staff were doing this fundraising event. And they were honestly at that time in 2011, very kind of shorthanded.
Yeah.
You know, there was maybe two staff people and then, you know, a couple of assistants here and there. Mm-hmm. And so I was at the general manager at the time. I told him, you know, I would love to work for KZFR. And he's like, oh, you know, there's not really anything in the budget right now. And so I just, every couple of months, I would touch base and see what was going on at KZFR. And I volunteered a few times during Pledge Drive, and I just kind of wormed my way in, you know, to finally when the board was ready to look at the fiscal budget for that year, they were like, yeah, we need a volunteer coordinator.
Your coordinator. Yeah. Well, and when you are run by volunteers, You can do it by the seat of your pants without having an organizer or someone to take care of it, but it doesn't really work. Not when you have so many. We have a lot of volunteers at KZFR.
There is. Just during the regular time of the year, we have close to 100 volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, those are the creative folks that create our programming.
Mm-hmm.
Because we only have a handful of syndicated shows like Democracy Now! And Project Censored, you know, some of these shows that are award-winning programs that we mm-hmm. want to be able to bring to the community. But at least, yeah, most of our programming is done by very creative, passionate, hardworking volunteers.
Yes.
And you get that many eclectic people together trying to, you know, do a multitude of different things. It can get confusing if you don't have someone just trying to organize it, coordinate
exactly.
it.
Yeah. Well, and if you have an event or a pledge drive, those are the times that you probably really have to dig in.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Because, yeah, we can cross our fingers and hope that there will be a volunteer there to answer the phones, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
But unless you can, you know, coordinate that and get some commitments solid on paper, you're really just, you know, chancing it.
Well, you know, and as a volunteer, I have to say, it has a lot to do with how you treat a volunteer and how you speak to them and how you make things happen. Because when you have to fill a spot, you know, I've always appreciated, the word really isn't gentle, but a nice way that you approach and say, hey, I need somebody here. And, you know, I think that it has shown because, you know, volunteers, they step up.
They do. It's remarkable. Yeah, it takes quite a few.
Yes.
A few volunteers just to staff the pledge drive.
Right.
And I've been a volunteer. I've volunteered with like Safe Space and Stonewall and Big Brothers Big Sisters. I've volunteered with different groups, so I kind of know what it feels like on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're of the mind to do volunteer work, you want to help. And so I figure I just will put the information out there and the right person will come, you know, will fill that spot. And there's no reason to try to guilt people or make them feel bad or, you know, I always tell people I would prefer to have an honest no from someone than feel like I'm pressuring them, you know, to do something that doesn't really work for them.
Mm-hmm. And it feels that way. You know, when you approach someone, I it does feel like that. So this last pledge drive that we just had was quite a good one.
It was epic. It really
epic.
Was.
I love that.
It started out on because it takes 10 days to complete one of our pledge drives. And our goal is normally 40,000 each pledge drive. And we try to only do two a year. And that fits well into our fiscal budget and what the Corporation for Public Broadcasting expects us to do. Because for us to receive that grant money, we have to prove to them that the community values us.
Mm-hmm.
So to do the pledge drive, have us go over our goal was just so heartwarming and just such a strong affirmation from the community that they do value KCSR.
Yes. And Leah and I were talking earlier, the feel and how KZFR is coming across does feel really good. The quality of everything has seemed to improved, I'd say.
I think so too. Yeah, we hit the 30-year mark, our 30th birthday not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And it feels like we've matured. We've learned a lot over the years. And I think KZFR is kind of on a precipice of expansion and of being even more connected to the community and what their needs are and what they want to hear and bringing more people in to participate.
Yeah. And younger people.
Exactly. Right. We are now able to restart our training program. And just this last few months, we've gotten six new programmers.
Great.
Right? New people, passionate
new people.
Right. Yeah. And a good fit for the station. Definitely.
Yeah. So for years, we had spoken about this, not just at KZFR, but at particularly community radio, the fact that people age out, sort of.
Yeah. It's
you know, and how do
Yeah,
and how do we get a younger audience to listen with so many options out there? So that's really good to hear because at times, and I know other community radio stations, they go down if they can't get that new interest, and volunteer coordinators key on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's a group effort. It's the staff is a great team. We work really well together, and just to be able to pull together and brainstorm and listen to our volunteers and take their input and then figure out ways to implement that to keep things vitalized, to attract new volunteers, new programmers that have great ideas for new shows or new flavor, a new approach.
Well, and have a volunteer feel as though they're listened to.
Exactly.
That's big.
Right,
That's
exactly.
big.
Yeah. Like we, in the last few years, we've revitalized our community advisory board. And so, which is a group of volunteers from the community, that, meet pretty regularly and can speak directly to our program committee or the board of directors to give feedback directly from the community.
Yeah, so and that's called the CAB.
Exactly,
right?
The Community Advisory Board.
Okay.
Right.
And
if
so
anybody from the community can be involved in that.
So any of the things we're talking about, if you go to the KZFR website, you can find information about all of those things, applications for volunteering and or becoming a programmer, getting on CAB, getting on the board, getting on the program committee.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very good.
Right. Yeah, yep. All of that information's on the About tab at kzfr.org.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now, and who is the general manager at KZFR?
Our general manager is Grant Parks,
okay,
who is the host of Caribbean Dance Radio on Tuesdays. On Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, he started at KZFR the year before I did. So we've worked together now at least 12 years. And I would consider him the heart of the station.
He
has done a great job. He'll be the general manager 2 years this summer. And in his office, he has a big board on the wall, and it's the big board of ideas. So he's always brainstorming and bringing it up in staff meetings or to volunteer programmers of how can we improve KZFR?
Yeah.
You know, what are we doing right? What are our challenges? And what's the vision for like the next 5 years?
And I know Grant pretty well also in that I was sort of part of training him back then.
Right.
Because he came in as a volunteer and then he was very good with tech stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He was great for the computer and he's just good with all of that. He's a DJ and he gets it so well.
He's still good. He's still the one who goes running into the studio when
the CD
player refuses to play.
Yeah.
He's usually the first person in there figuring it out.
And what a bonus that is for a general manager to be able to do that.
Right. To know a radio station inside and out.
Yep. Yep. And he does. He's, I can't say he's grown up with KZFR because he wasn't a kid, but he was certainly younger.
Right. And, well, he was just out of college.
Yes.
Right? So he had to have been in his early 20s then. Yeah.
So he just hung in there and, he shines and it makes sense that he's the general manager. It does make sense.
I think so too. I think he's doing a great job. Absolutely.
I do. Mm-hmm. I do too. Then you've got Ray Lager is the underwriting, what do we call him?
Director. He's the underwriting director, and he has had that role probably for 13, 14 years.
Okay.
Or
and
something.
He knows that one inside and out?
He does. He does, absolutely. And he keeps, that's a huge part of KZFR's budget.
Yes, yeah. That other income source that's probably as important as the pledge drives.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's a consistent monthly income for the station, something that we can rely on.
Yeah.
And it's also, this sounds kind of hokey, but it is very affordable. It's not like advertising or commercials that you would pay for on a commercial radio or television station.
No.
It's much more sincere. It feels like they are contributing.
Yes.
The diversity at the station, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense. Yeah. A local voice introduces them. Mm-hmm. And again, back to the part about it being reasonable compared to other advertising that goes out over this much air, you can't beat the price at KZFR for that.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
So that's another one on the website. If a business out there is listening, it's just a great way to support community radio, and get your name out there. So
exactly right, and it shows that they're like minded. The people who are listening, and the businesses who do underwriting, and the volunteers that create those shows. Right. Ends up being a family.
Right. And you go there as a person that wants to buy something, you go there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. So there's a list, I think, of all the underwriters on the website.
There absolutely is. Yep.
And probably a way to get a hold of Ray there if anybody's interested.
Right.
Because he would be right on it. He's wonderful in the community. He knows so many things and so many people. He's perfect for that job. For
right. Sure. And he's the one of the co-hosts of Playin' Dead on Friday.
Yeah. You hear him on there. Also, he has a little public affairs programming.
He does. Butte Views and Beyond.
Yeah.
Alternates on Thursdays with a couple of other public affairs programs. Yeah.
So he's got radio in his blood. We know that.
Absolutely.
And then who is the gal on the front when I call? She's always very helpful. And I don't know her, the office manager.
Yeah, she is awesome. That's Shirley. Shirley McCoy. She joined us a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
And she fits in perfectly. She she was maybe with us maybe a year, not quite a year, and just was bitten by the radio bug. And so now she is officially a certified programmer and has been co-hosting on different shows, right? She's co-hosted Studio 416. I know she's done on 5 Mile and Then Some. She's gonna do Playin' Dead this Friday.
Okay.
So, she
got bit by the bug. I know this because I got bit by the bug too, and it is just like that.
Yeah.
It's got some kind of passion that you'll do anything for it.
Well, you definitely feel it when the programmers come into the station before their show. You can see it. They're like on fire. They're organizing. They're zipping around the studio, getting ready. And then they stand in front of the mic and they just light up.
Yeah.
And they're just so happy to be there and to share, you know, whether it's a music genre they're passionate about or a local topic or issue. If they're an activist, you can just see it. They just light up.
Yep. It's great. It's so good. So, let's see, that's all the staff, right, at this point?
Well, we do have a new production assistant who works with the programmers on a variety of editing.
Mark.
Mark Baker. He does our community calendar. He does the local update that is up on in the mornings right after Democracy Now!, which is a short update on local issues, local news topics. And that's those sort of things. And he's been great. Right. And it's great to have somebody there with the technical knowledge to help programmers with some of those odds and ends that maybe they're not savvy on.
Yeah.
When KZFR first launched in 1990, it was, of course, just a terrestrial radio broadcast, you know, at 90.1 FM. And now we also stream live on our website. So that does, you're right, that adds a whole nother level
another
of technology,
level.
Yeah, that some people could be intimidated by.
Yeah.
But having Mark there to assist people, and Grant is very knowledgeable and a good teacher, because he does all of the trainings when people come through the programmer orientation and then get on board to do the training. He's the one that kind of leads that.
Which is great, because then he gets that relationship with them and they feel good. And he's like the dad.
You could say that. Yeah, okay.
A young dad, but a dad.
There you go.
And then do you know when the next training is?
They are scheduled quarterly, and we just had one in March. So...
Okay, it'll be in the end of the summer.
June-ish, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Or June-ish,
since then.
Right. Well, doing that, you'll get people to come. If it's a long way out, it's a little hard. But that way, you can put that right now. If people are listening, June's not that far off.
Right, exactly. And that information, of course, is on our website and all of our social media pages. We're on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. So if you can find KZFR out there, then you'll find that.
Find everything,
Right.
The website... Yeah. And that's another thing, the website, that has so improved over time. It's good.
True, right. There is a lot of info. My favorite part is the list of all the shows.
Yes.
Because the programmers have offered like introductions about themselves. And so that mm-hmm. information is up there as well. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. a lot of times when KZFR has an event or we're at an info booth mm-hmm. with the community, people always want to meet the programmers.
Yeah.
So, and yeah. that's
how yeah, no, they're kind of famous in a funny way.
It is. Yeah. People recognize their voices if they're uh-huh. staff in the bar at one of our events.
Right. Or, yeah.
And so, yeah, if yeah. you don't get to actually meet a programmer, you can go to the website and learn yeah. something
and
that, about them.
And I will say this because this is important about my show. The archives is a different one. If you go to the archive tab, that's just a sort of an automatic archive that's up for 2 weeks. If you go to the show, if you go to shows and you go to the day of the week, in this case, Tuesday mm. or Thursday, and you click on the show, the recording can be there. Information about the interview can be there. I'm talking about this show, and you can look at every one of them. They're all there. Whereas the archives, because of some music legality,
laws,
can only
yeah.
be up for 2 weeks. So people could know that. Because the archive tab can be a little confusing at times to find what you want on it. But if you go to the shows, you might find some more information.
Exactly. Right. And it's another way to get to listen to the programming because,
yeah.
I mean, maybe your favorite show is Playing Dead or maybe The Real Issue on Wednesday night and you're yeah. having dinner with your family and you don't right. have the radio on.
Yeah.
So you can easily go to the website and catch a show that was on yesterday or a week ago
yep.
And get to listen to it that way.
That's true. And yeah. I think that public affairs programming actually legally can stay up longer. So if you're interested in those shows, I think you can, if you go to the actual show, mm-hmm. they're there.
Yeah. Maybe the only thing I would add is I really think volunteering for nonprofits is a very fulfilling and important thing that I wish more people would do.
Yes.
When I have volunteered for nonprofits, you definitely feel like you have given to the community. Mm-hmm. So you feel
part of it.
Oh, right, exactly. But almost like you have gotten back as much that you have given.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, because there's been yeah. a number of local nonprofits that I've either volunteered or worked with, and it just adds a whole nother level of gratitude mm-hmm. or appreciation for the community that we have. Mm-hmm. If you can mm-hmm. be actively involved mm-hmm. some way.
Got it. Yes. Yeah. yeah. And to get that out to kind of back to what we were talking about, sort of a younger group of people that may not be so familiar with volunteering in a community. It's, just a concept that, you know, my generation sort of came along with, but I feel as though it's not there so much now. So to let, you know, younger people become a part of it, it's pretty important. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We do. Yeah. Any nonprofit would tell you, yeah, that you need to constantly be finding passionate people that want to be involved.
Yeah.
And I think the younger generation, I think they are passionate about things. And if we can just reach out
yeah.
and not just KZFR, but all nonprofits in mm-hmm. general can just find ways to communicate with them and show them
yes.
what the possibilities are, I think they would step up.
I think they would
volunteer.
Yeah.
It's just being able to communicate.
Sure.
With them.
And it's neat because KZFR even has more of a little pull in that it has music. It has
yes.
the possibility of actually doing it on the air. So it's got
right.
a good pull there to get some volunteers in.
Right, right. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying that when you volunteer, I feel like I have gotten as much as I have given.
Yeah.
That there is that give and take.
Right. That you get when you do it. So,
yeah. mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, good. Leah, thank you so much today for talking to me.
Well, thank you, Bobby. I think this is a great show. I love hearing all the different local voices.
Me too. And I learn things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. I have too, listening to your show or
yeah.
Chris's show on Friday.
Yeah.
Who's
yeah.
on Wednesday. Yeah, I always learn something when I tune into the public affairs shows.
It's because it's us. It's all of us.
Right. It's the community.
It is. All right. Thanks, Leah.
Yeah. Thank you, Bobby.
All right. Bye. You just heard a pre-recorded interview with Leah McKean, the volunteer coordinator at KZFR. And you're listening to KZFR. My name is Bobby Tryon, and this show is called North State Local Voices. And this is the last show on North State Local Voices. I've been doing this now for, well, it's kind of going on 2 years, maybe not quite there. And this will be the last show. So if you'd like to listen to any of them, you can go to KZFR, go to shows, go down to Tuesday. All the shows that I've ever done are there. I'm not sure how long they'll be there, but if you want to check them out, you can. And stay tuned to your community radio station. It's been fun, and I always stay tuned. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Why don't we begin?
Report to SAT. Everyone's ready. We hope you enjoy. Little bit of cooling down.
This is Fresh Hop Cinema.
Hey, and welcome to Fresh Hop Cinema, a craft beer and film podcast and radio show based in Chico, California, telling you what you should be watching and what you should be drinking, and sometimes what you shouldn't be on either occasion. My name is Max Minardi.
Johann von Sommers reporting for duty.
This week on the show, we crack open the crypt and share our thoughts on Renfield, the latest from director Chris McKay, starring Nick Cage channeling Bela Lugosi by way of Bram Stoker, and Nicholas Holt as his quote-unquote familiar Renfield. Renfield is stuck under the oppressive and abusive thumb of his master, Dracula, and seeks help and victims at a local Abusers Anonymous group. But before we get to that, Johnny, tell these people what we are drinking.
We are drinking beers from Rar Brewing, pronounced Rar like a cat, out of Cambridge, Maryland. Beer number one is called Out of Order, Here Kitty Kitty. It is a smoothie sour ale with flavors of bourbon, maple, pancake, or bourbon, maple, bacon,
a lot of stuff.
Cupcakes. Bourbon, maple, bacon, cupcakes.
Perfect.
Beer number two is their Out of Order series again. It is called Wowzers. It is a